I was wired on Rippet energy drinks, heart pounding, eyes glued open to the bright screens as we followed a white bongo truck for miles as it drove south, kicking up dust from the Syrian border through the open desert. "Raise altitude and switch to thermal sensors," I called over to the team. "If this guy spots us in the air, we're done." It was midday, September 2009, and I was in the box, a secret windowless bunker at the edge of an undisclosed military base south of Mosul, Iraq, not far from the Syrian border, staring at 8 flat-screen TVs on the wall, stacked in 2 rows of 4, the shittiest Best Buy you've ever seen. Some of the screens streamed live camera feeds from the Predator drone, current altitude, speed, missile laser target designator system, and detailed map of the land below. Others flashed pictures of our targets, their families, and their complex terrorist networks, which spanned the globe. Much of this came courtesy of experts from the CIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, National Security Agency, NSA, and FBI operating along my side. I was Delta, Special Ops, and my specialty was high-level capture and kill missions. My weapon was mainly Predator MQ-1 drones, equipped with 2 laser-guided AGM-114P Hellfire missiles. My job was to hunt down the most dangerous terrorists in the world. If I was chasing you, you never saw me. The room was sweltering from the computer servers and lit by blinking screens. A low hum of machinery was a constant in the background and stayed in our heads. When you walked outside the box, you'd never know that behind the door was one of the world's most technologically advanced operation centers, run by some of the best minds in the business of war. Some of the technology we had wouldn't be publicly known for years to come. My team of 6, a mix of elite military intelligence personnel with different specialties, was called when a terrorist needed to be located. I have no doubt that we could find anyone in the world, no matter how hidden they think they are. I prided myself on tracking down even the most senior terrorist leaders, people who others considered ghosts. Our target's name was Abu Bashir. We'd been looking for him for weeks, until we got a tip on the ground that he was heading in our direction, south from the Syria-Iraq border. Bashir was an explosives expert for the group Al-Qaeda in Iraq, AQI. Mostly undetected, he moved the material and components for heavy bombs into Iraq, along with foreign fighters and suicide bombers waging war against the United States. His trip was going to end badly, with another attack against either innocent civilians or U.S. military personnel stationed at a base nearby. A fleet of helicopters were on call nearby if we needed them to intercept a target fast. We sat in a cramped room with cement floors, working off a makeshift desk built out of plywood. Jake, an Air Force tactical controller, sat next to me. He was my shadow. We had our laptops out, running a sophisticated chat program that allowed us to have about 20 different classified conversations with every intelligence agency running at once, including the CIA and NSA, our ground force elements, senior officials in the U.S. government, and the technical side of the operations in Iraq and across the globe. As I called out instructions, zoom orders, latitude, longitude, altitude, vehicle pursuit directions, Jake chatted everything to a camera sensor operator and Predator pilot, 2 Air Force personnel sitting next to each other in a trailer in Nevada, who actually flew the drones at my every command. The bongo truck, similar to a pickup truck but with a wider body, was heading southeast now from the Syrian border, fast. They were definitely transporting something. We'd picked him up about an hour before in a desolate place in the desert that I'd been able to narrow down based on an analysis of his earlier movements. "Jake, why does every terrorist in Iraq that we track seem to own a white bongo?"
"Groupon."
On the monitors, the bongo was kicking up dust everywhere and creating a huge signature visible from the sky. We had the bird at a 2-nautical-mile standoff from the target, trailing at around 12,000 feet to keep it out of sight. If our target ever heard the drone's engine or somehow caught sight of it, he'd abandon his mission and go underground. Phones tossed, email accounts abandoned, everything gone. Months of our intelligence work destroyed. The road wasn't much of a road, just some zigzagging tracks worn into the hard-packed sand for hundreds of miles. It was mainly no man's land, with some dots of villages here and there, 10 to 20 people at most to a village.